Moving on, as I mentioned, we're going to have a chat with David Toohey. David is a senior recruitment consultant with Morgan McKinley. And he is going to be speaking to us about how to avoid some common interview mistakes that people make. Okay, so you're very welcome to the show, David.
Hi, Monica. Thanks for having me on.
You're very welcome. So as I mentioned, David works with Morgan McKinley and he's going to chat to us about some of the mistakes that people make when they're hiring. So first question, David, I suppose, in your work, what are the most common mistakes you see business owners making when it comes to this important issue of, you know, making the right hire, the right selection for your business? Your money may already be quite limited, your budget might be limited. So anyone you get on board, you want to make sure they're going to make a difference. So what are the most common things you see that people don't do when they're making this decision?
Yeah, so there's a couple of things that I've thinking about how we might approach this. I think the first thing is the right hire. So like ultimately, I think people want a relatively easy recruitment process and they want to hire someone that's going to be able to do the job that they want them to be able to do. And then they might want that person also to stay with them for a period of time. That could be 3 months, 6 months, 12 months, 10 years. That would vary business by business. And I think for smaller companies that aren't actively hiring all of the time, the mistakes they make are probably quite common, and it's mostly just down to they don't do it very regularly, so there's maybe a lack of experience and just a basic lack of knowledge of what's happening in the market. So I think the biggest mistake is just not being aware of the current market conditions for whatever type of experience they're looking to hire in. And that puts you at a big disadvantage then, because you're thinking of this recruitment process from, okay, my company's doing well or someone's just left, I need to bring someone in to fulfill this role. And you do all of your recruitment perspective or process just from that perspective. So you create a job spec, you advertise, which you don't actually know is what I'm looking for available, what kind of salary is that currently attracting in the market, or do I have many local competitors? As you start to get into the recruitment process, that lack of knowledge starts to break down the process for you, and it leads to lots of the complications that people go through when they try to hire. So I think that's the first one, is before you start recruiting, to do your research on the skills you're looking for, how available are they, where are you likely to find them, what are you likely to have to pay for them, and what alternatives do those types of candidates have when they're when they come to you look for a job, are there other alternatives that they might have as well? So that would be the first one. I think then as well, just not properly speccing the role. When I say a spec, the job specification for the role. And that kind of ties into their market knowledge, but initially people might sit down and they'd say, well, we need them to do these 10 tasks. And that's okay, but when you go out to the market, it might be that you're looking at people that can do 5 of those, 2 of those, 8 of those, people that can do those 10, plus they've got lots of other types of experience, and all of those are coming into you interested in this role in the market. So when you sit down to spec out your role, okay, you need to list your kind of a short list of your absolute requirements, and then you need to start thinking about, well, what other alternatives could we also accommodate, so that you're not deciding who you're going to hire based just on the types of candidates that you end up meeting. Because what that leads to is you end up hiring someone who's overqualified because you really liked all their experience, but of course then they want to have extra impact and you don't have space for them in your business for the impact right now. So they end up leaving after, could be even 2 weeks, or it could be 6 months when they realize, actually, I can't have the impact that I was looking for. So be really clear on the kind of the parameters of the role and spec it appropriately.
And can I just ask you there, David, how important is it at that stage when you're speccing the role to think about the future of your business? Because, you know, things change so quickly. You know, is there a part where somebody should maybe scope out where they want to be in 5 years' time and what kind of, you know, you kind of mentioned there the absolute need to have, then the nice to haves. So is there room for that in your job spec, that you'd put in something about where you want to take the business?
Absolutely. And I think it's important that you have that conversation in the business. Are we hiring for someone just to come in and do this job perpetually, or are we hiring, are we hopeful to hire someone that can grow with the business and create more value as their career develops? And that's, you know, there are lower end roles maybe, but equally then at a senior level, if we're hiring, well, let's be really clear on what impact we want this person to have, so okay, that we can really assess that as we're going through the interview process.
So your two tips so far are do your research and spec out the role.
Yeah, really be clear what you're looking for and then test that in the market. So you might be clear what you want, you might be able to get exactly what you want, but at least you're testing it and then you can adjust as you get into the process. The other one then is not managing the recruitment process effectively. And again, some of that comes down to just experience. But a lot of, you know, somebody sees your job ad, let's say, and let's just say your job ad is very basic and very similar to many other job ads that are out there. You might already fail at that hurdle because there's nothing distinguishing about your job ad. So that's the first thing, is to try and write a job description that's not just about the job, but also gives some indication of how the role might develop or what the company is like, what their experience might be like working there. Then as candidates start to, you know, apply to and go through the process, that you're keeping in contact with them, that you're letting them know where the process is at, so that they don't ever have the feeling that, geez, has that company forgotten about me? Mm-hmm. And then as they go to interview, that they're met professionally, that you have an appropriate environment to conduct the interview, that you've thought about in advance the types of questions you want to ask, so that you come away from the interview with some really good information about the candidate. And then when they go, that you shake hands, you say we'll be in touch, you let them know you're meeting other candidates and that we'll be in touch by this time. And then you keep to your deadlines.
Okay. And do you find that that's difficult? Those three things are difficult for people? Like, so we often hear that term recruitment process. Well, certainly bigger businesses would hear it and they'd have a recruitment or a hiring process in place. But for the small micro-sized business who tend to hire maybe on a more ad hoc basis, what is a recruitment process? What's in it? Like, so if you think of maybe, is it a circle? You know, what does it consist of? And yeah, how do you do it? If you can kind of give us a synopsis of that.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's two parts to it. One is to have an efficient process. And the other is that everything that happens in your recruitment process from the day you decide to hire might be the only experience that potential candidates have with your business, unless they're a customer of yours or a client or friends or family work there. This might be the only insight they get into what your company is like, how they behave. So every touch point you're going to have with them in the process, I would advise be a positive one and a constructive one, so that you're giving them signals that you're a professional organization, that you keep your commitments in terms of we'll be in touch by this Friday, and you do that. If they meet someone at reception, that person is, you know, polite, friendly, engaged with them. So in terms of the hiring process, like, step one is you create a clear spec for what your requirements are. You're going to advertise the role and you're going to reach out to your existing network. And you're going to advertise in a way that distinguishes it from other roles that are out there. Then you're going to collect in all of your applicants, ideally within you're hopeful that you say, okay, we need applicants within 2 weeks. You get your applicants in. Immediately you're going to reply to them in a very professional, polite way to say you acknowledge receipt of their application, you're reviewing all the applications, and you'll be back to them by this deadline, by this date. And you keep to that. Then you review your applicants and you invite the ones you'd like to progress with to the interview stage. And at that point, if the others, you're sure they aren't suitable, you send them a nice email to say, thanks a lot for taking the time to apply. Really appreciate your interest in the company. You'll understand that, you know, there's a lot of interest in this role. And on this occasion, we've had some applicants with more relevant experience than yours. But again, thank you for taking the time to apply.
Okay, so that's a pretty comprehensive step-by-step guide there to how you can put a simple but effective recruitment process in place. And you, just one thing that you mentioned there was you know, the importance of getting back to people. And I think that's certainly something that we hear from friends and family who are applying, and the frustration of not hearing back. So it's a good advice for business owners to make sure that they have some process in place, that people's time is respected, I suppose, for applying and for coming for interview. Just one thing I wanted to ask you, David, was about skills demonstrations. So I explained there when I opened the show about a kind of a disastrous interview I had where I was asked to do something that I didn't know how to do. And it was disastrous for me, but it was really good for the company because they saved themselves the bother of hiring somebody who wasn't going to fit their team and couldn't do what they needed them to do. So, you know, typically, I suppose people apply for roles, certainly in their more junior years, because they need the money. As we get a bit of sense and we get older, we kind of apply for roles because it suits our lifestyle, or it's in keeping with our values, or we don't have commute as long, so the money is maybe less important at that stage as lifestyle. But skills demonstrations, do you see them being done? Do companies do them still? Like that's about 20 years ago when I did that. But so do you see anybody using those now? And how do you suggest that an employer makes sure that the person who they have sitting opposite them not just can talk a good talk, but can actually do the job that they will be hired to do?
Yeah, and like for some roles that would be easier than others. There are options like a trial period, and a lot of candidates wouldn't be a fan of that, because if another company doesn't have it, they're more likely to go for that company. But you can, like for the types of roles I recruit for example, in more finance, in the finance space, things like a case study comes up quite often. Then you present your case study at the interview. You need to be careful about how you're going to use that it's not something too onerous that's going to turn candidates away. It needs to fit logically with the type of role that you're applying for. So it's a very analytical role. You might have a 10-minute test where they have a big piece of data that they need to do a summary analysis on, and just so you can see that they, like you said, can do what they say they can do. Lots of, you know, if it's a larger manufacturing type environment, I think then you're looking at, well, what training has the person done? Do they have all their certs? Doing the references, you know, calling previous employers at the candidate's permission, obviously, but doing those background checks. Again, it will be case by case. If it's appropriate and if it's critical to the role, then do it in as simple a way as possible.
Yeah. Okay. So, how easy is it to outsource this task of finding the next great hire? Why is it a good idea to use somebody like Morgan McKinley? Is it not just, you know, an expensive way for them to help? You know, can you not just do this by yourself and take a chance on hiring somebody, you know?
Like if you're talking about small businesses, small, medium-sized businesses, we'll often be contacted. Now, again, it depends on the type of role, right? But we'll often be contacted by people that have already tried to recruit for a role and it hasn't worked out. So usually someone has either turned down their offer or accepted their offer and then subsequently turned it down, or they've left after 6 months or something like that, or they haven't been happy with the type of applicants they've been getting directly. And really, I'll go back to my initial point that it's the awareness of the market is probably one of the biggest advantages that someone like Morgan McKinley will have. So if you think, you know, a company with 10 or 15 employees might make one or two hires a year. A company with 50 employees might make less than 10 in a year. We're talking to, you know, per consultant, anything from 10 to 20 candidates a day, 5 days a week. So, and we're, like if you take Morgan McKinley, the consultants will all recruit for like one particular kind of skills profile. So we're talking to all those people all day long. So our insight into the market in terms of the types of candidates that are out there, the salaries they can get, the types of roles that are out there for them, you know, the volume of supply that's out there,
Okay.
So it's a big advantage.
Yeah.
For someone who's doing this once.
Yeah, so I hear you there when you're saying that, you know, people mightn't use you initially, and then they realize that actually the mistakes that have been made are, you know, when you look at the cost of maybe getting somebody to help you with recruiting versus doing it yourself, and then it goes wrong, then the actual cost of getting help looks pretty small in comparison, I would imagine.
Well, I think it's you're paying for quality. You would hope to get a stronger candidate. You're paying for the insight and market information, so that if you can't get exactly what you're looking for, we can work on alternatives. You're paying for time, you know, we're taking that problem, we have to deliver on your behalf. So I think that's like recruitment as an industry is growing massively as the economy is rising, and I think it's because of those, you know, we solve a problem in the market, which is getting good people into your business.
Okay, yeah, that makes total sense. So look, David, thank you so much for talking to me for the last couple of minutes. How can people get in touch, or how can, if any of our listeners are interested in using the services of Morgan McKinley, where should they go?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, morganmckinley.ie is the website, 021-200-300, and we recruit across a wide variety of specialisms from finance, engineering, science, kind of front office, reception, administrative type roles, IT, supply chain, manufacturing. So, you know, really, I think we can be a solution for a lot of your listeners if they're interested. And I think really it's about testing it out first, you know. It
might
not be for everyone. But if we could leave one last comment for people listening, just how you present your business gives you a big advantage in the market, you know. Everything you do, people are seeing, they're consuming it.
Mm-hmm.
If you can present your company as being an interesting company that looks after people, has opportunities, even if you use an agency, it'll even make our job easier to sell your business as a business to go and work for.
Fantastic. Okay, some good advice there. Okay, David, thank you so much. And as I say, we'll be back in touch with you again should we get any specific queries in on that topic.
Thank you, Monica.
Take care.